I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Pure Evil MMA. I got a really, really special guest joining us. One of my favorites, actually, especially going back to the Ultimate Fighter. One of the guys that literally got so many people into mixed martial arts, had so many close fights, amazing fights, rivalries, you name it. We got Nam Van joining us. What's going on, Nam?
Trigger, yay!
So listen, man, there's been so much going on in mixed martial arts world. You've been doing this since you were 4 years old. Before we talk about any recent MMA stuff, I kind of want to brush people up on your career. I mean, the Ultimate Fighter. What were your favorite moments being on the Ultimate Fighter with GSP and Josh?
Oh, man, I don't know. That's so fun. The coaches sound always fun. You know, getting to know everybody from my team and the other team, getting to meet Josh Koscheck, you know, he's a real cool guy. And he gives me the legend, you know, George St. Pierre, and Dana White.
So obviously, there was one of my favorite parts of your career was when you're calling out Steven Seagal. Is there an update? Like, what's happened with all that? Because I saw you calling out, like, it would be crazy to see Joshua, Diego Sanchez's coach, Josh Fabia. Believe it, versus Steven Seagal. You're still going with this joke, man. I love it. Have you ever ran into Steven after all these years? What's been up with that?
Lucky him. No, I've never. Super fight, I want to see Steven Seagal with Sonny Fabia. What's the deal saying the coach's name? Josh Fabia, right?
Yeah, Josh Fabia. What do you think about him?
Oh man, he's a weirdo. He's a fake. Since that Steven Seagal.
So this.
I don't know, man.
The thing with.
I don't know what he's doing.
Well, the thing with Diego, man, he hasn't won a round since signing with him. If you're Diego, I mean, why would you stick around with somebody like that?
He's a fake, man. He's a yoga instructor, or he's like a spiritual guy, right? And he has no martial experience.
Yeah, it's just a crazy time the last couple of years with all these guys bringing in like movement coaches. Were you into that, like the movement coach thing that Connor was doing for a little while?
What is a movement coach?
Playing touch butt in the park, remember?
Yeah, touch butt in the park. What's a movement coach?
After all these years of you doing this, man, it's got to be crazy sitting back watching all this stuff. I mean, if you're a coach right now and you're seeing all this, what would be going through your mind? It's just like, how are these guys making money? It's just, it's absolutely crazy. Is that the craziest thing you've seen in mixed martial? Like, what's the weirdest thing you've seen after all these years? Is it these coaches coming through? Is it, what's the weirdest thing you've seen in your career so far?
Oh man, I see some bad stuff. Before MMA was, fake coaches, you know, coaching actual fighters, that was weird. But when I was in the underground days, before mixed martial was still legal in America, I remember, I wasn't there, but my friend told me, in the organization, after the fight, after the event, a guy and a girl come out, and do it in the cage. It was just crazy.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm like, I told Tony, like, when the girl just took off her clothes, got down on her knee, and just like give it to the guy, you know? Like, what? And then this happened in front of, like, 1,000 people. Like, and then there's kids there. Like, it's crazy. And, like, one of the guys was a fighter.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I should tell you who he is, but, like, yeah. He's a fighter. And, like, he came in there. I thought he was going to fight. I didn't see him, but he told me, well, like, that guy. So the ring girl came in there and took her clothes, got down her knees, and started going off on her. Like, what the heck?
I was
told that. Like, that's crazy. I almost fought that event. Yeah, but something happened where I didn't. But I was going to fight that event, and like, I guess because of the agreement on something, like, I didn't fight. But thank God I wasn't part of that event.
The only thing he was fighting was his climax.
Dude, you're right, for real.
See if he can go longer than 15 or 25 minutes.
Yeah.
That's funny shit. Yeah, man, and right now you see, like, Mike Perry, he's trying to, like, offer up whoever pays me the most can come into my corner. I mean, things are just, it's like the Wild West again. We thought we were trying to fix things in mixed martial arts, trying to make it, you know, mainstream, and we still got stuff like this going on. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, just having your girlfriend in your corner and just, you know, bidding off. The UFC has got to jump on that. You know what I mean? Like, you can't be doing stuff like that. It's just out of control.
Yeah, Mike Perry, man, that guy's funny. I love that guy. He's hilarious. You know, mixed martial arts, you know, it's hard to make money as a fighter. You know, so you get to make money when you can. You know, make money as a, or some rat, to make money where some random guy gets to be in your corner and make a couple bucks there. What is he doing? Like, yeah, I mean, do what you can, right? You pay bills.
On a serious note, coming up with that topic right there, what do you think about fight pay right now? Like, how do you fix all of this? Do you believe in them making making it, not a commission, but like fair fight pay? I mean, you were on The Ultimate Fighter. You know what it was like signing that contract. I do a show with James McSweeney from season 10, and he was explaining that all to me, getting locked into contracts. How do you fix this? How do you fix fighters that are, you know, that are fighting for years, like Chuck Liddell, and still not being able to make money or live off of? I mean, BJ Penn, like, it stays in your blood. You have fight in your blood, but you beat your body up so much, you almost feel like you threw your life away if you don't have a savings. What are your thoughts on fight pay, and, like, how do you fix that?
I don't know how to fix that. I mean, the top guy, I just keep winning. I mean, I don't know that. I mean, I can't talk. I mean, if I win one more, I'll be rich, right? Because that's the formula. As long as you win, you get paid. And, like, you know, George St. Pierre, he's a multimillionaire. You just keep winning. All you do is win, you make money. And you lose, you don't make that much money. You know, you pay what you're worth. So find a tough job.
Well, is that why you think a lot of fighters try coming back? Like, we saw the Chuck Liddell versus Tito fight. Do you think that's why, or do you think it's, like, just in your blood, like, you can never get rid of that?
Oh, for me, I don't think Chuck fought with any money. I feel like he fought because he wants to fight. And me, I'm 37, I'm almost 40, but I don't need the money, but I still want to fight. I'm talking with more than right now, and I still, when it's COVID thing all over, I still want to get back into it in the mix. I still box professionally. I still like to stay active.
I mean, I saw you calling out Oscar De La Hoya not too long ago. Anything come of that?
If Oscar De La Hoya, he's coming back out of retirement, he needs a warm-up fight. I'll do it. I did cheat, you know? I'm not boxing Olympian like he is, or champion, but dude, I'm down to scrap. I can do it, you know? I'm in shape. He ran 10 miles. Do that.
There's a lot of guys that are trying to go over to boxing right now. We saw it with Connor. He's trying to say that this fight, upcoming fight with Dustin, is his warm-up for Pacquiao. First, let's break that down. What are your thoughts on Connor going in there against Dustin? Because they already fought already. We know how that went down. You fought guys in rematches. What are your thoughts on this? How do you see this playing out?
Man, I don't know. I think, you know, at this point, I think he's gotten better. You know, he's a smart guy. You know, I think he's a bit more active than Connor, you know? Who was left? I think Connor still, he's a man, you know, that's all you can see, everybody he does, you know, but it's a tough fight, you know, I'm going to see it, but, I overlooked Connor, you know, he got a left cross, I thought he got knocked out last time, right, the left cross, boom, done.
We've also seen Dustin get smarter over the years with not biting down the mouth guard like he did and just going balls to the wall looking for knockouts, getting into the scrap. So it should be a good fight. Do you see it go in the distance? Do you see it going to a finish? What's your prediction, pros picks?
I, in my opinion, I think it doesn't have to prove a lot. You know, and he's kind of always good on how much he improves. You know, I think maybe he might stay the same. I mean, slightly better, but I think Dustin is smarter. I think it was at least a decision.
Dustin's also saying that Justin Gaethje's got a really good chance going up against Habib. Do you agree with that?
I've been saying that. I made a video on my YouTube channel saying if anyone can beat Habib, he's the guy to do it.
How does it go down? How do you see this happening? Because Justin's also got the background with wrestling, but we haven't really seen much of his wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, look, it is my thing. I think if Khabib cannot take him down, he's screwed. Done. That's it. Cause I think Justin Gaethje leg kicks him or right left hooks him. You know, like ever since standing, Khabib's done. He has to. His only choice is he has to take him down. If he stays down, he's a tall, he doesn't Khabib, and he just drills him. He didn't win. But if Justin Gaethje can defend and take down, it's over. It's done.
Now, obviously, Habib's going through a lot right now, losing his father. He's got to keep his mind sharp. What do you do to keep your focus? Like, do you just exercise a lot? Like, what's your trick for, like, keeping your mental sanity, keeping focus, and not losing touch with who you are and becoming destructive to yourself? What do you do to stay healthy mentally?
I train every day, almost 7 days a week. I'm not saying I need for sure sick. Train, eat healthy, stay clean. You know, don't do drugs. Yeah, so it's be around positive people, stay motivated.
Because Walt Harris is fighting on this card, and you know the Anaya Blanchard case. He went back in, he fought Overeem. Now he's coming back in, he's fighting Volkov, I believe. He's fighting Volkov. And it's just crazy seeing somebody go through so much, go back in there, and be able to do it. So I give you guys a lot of credit for being able to stay mentally strong. I'm currently reading a book called The Five Rings. You've heard of this, correct?
Yeah, right?
Correct. Is there any mixed martial arts books out there that you would recommend to the listeners?
I would read books and pictures in them.
What was that?
I would, but I only read books with pictures in them.
I actually got the picture book of the Five Rings. I got the illustrated book. But
preferably more pictures than words.
Also, I wanted to ask you, the 10-minute podcasts I know that you've been watching. Are you big into podcasts? Do you a podcast listener?
What was that? I feel, but the guy's funny.
Yeah.
I can't watch Joe Rogan. Something has good guests. I listen to it, you know, James Blaine, that was cool, and I listen to it. But some good, I have no idea who they are, and it's way over my head. I don't bother watching it, but I turn a podcast, it's Big Green, you know. It's really gone after two of the guys, but I love the podcast. I like Tiger Belly. I like Bad Friends with Andy Santino and Bobby Lee. Wish I didn't hear, you know. I like those shows. They're funny. Yeah, they're good guests.
Wait, 10-minute podcast is back?
No, it's gone.
It's gone now, right? Because Chris D'Elia and Brian, obviously everything that's going on with them, which is really upsetting. Yeah, because, man, I love Chris D'Elia. I'll throw his podcast on and laugh all day.
Because it's a bank guy, too. It was the 10-Bank podcast. It was so fun. I loved it.
I'm surprised with your personality that you don't have a podcast. What's holding you back from starting one up?
I'm going to talk about, I don't have an hour worth of material,
Yeah, but the fans love you. Like, you'd have so many people tuning in. Like, you have so many people that follow you your entire career. You've always gotten everyone on edge. You know, like, you make people laugh. You got a great personality. I think you would be a great host for a podcast.
Yeah, sure. I don't know how to set one up. You know, I just have a YouTube channel there. I have my channel like this, and I just feel like I'm talking. That's it.
Even like your happy face omelets. Like, do a little cooking show to get people to lose weight or something. You'd be great doing something like that, man.
Yeah, I'll try. I figure how to put a podcast together, and then get something started.
It's so easy. Just open up your phone, press record on YouTube. It's just like that.
Then if that's a podcast, I do have something like that. Every morning, every 10 miles, then I just record myself talking about mixed martial arts and random stuff.
Man, so your entire career, you started at the age of 4. You're second degree black belt by the age of 16. Would you want your children to follow your footsteps, or would you want them to follow a different path?
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I have a son. I'd like him to follow my sister, my artist. I'm hoping one day, I'm older and retired, I can give him my school, and he has a wedding. If they keep the cycle going, he can get it to his kids, that'd be great. But I can't force him. I hope I can just mold him and trick him to love martial arts.
So if he liked boxing or wrestling, would you rather him do that over mixed martial, like fight in the UFC? Or
you need to fire.
How old is your son?
Year and a half.
How old?
Year and a half.
A year? Oh, he's a baby.
Baby.
So you're new to fatherhood. What's changed in your life since becoming a father? That's wild.
Oh, less sleep.
And you're still going to the gym every day. That's wild, man.
Who's counting?
Yeah. But does this motivate you to want to fight more? Like, do you want to get back into mixed martial arts, or are you just going to follow boxing? You said you're still active in boxing, correct?
I love boys. I do boxing. And I still feel really young and healthy. I run 10 miles a day. I read 10 miles before I started this podcast right here.
Wow.
I feel like I don't want to max out my youth. I want to keep do as much as possible until I cannot do it anymore.
You still look young as hell. You look like you're still like 22 years old right now.
Dude, I'm 60.
Yeah. So for people out there that don't know, this is one of the things I really want to talk about. The Kung Fu fight. What was the story behind that? And can you kind of paint the picture for everybody of what went down there? How did this all get started?
I have a student named Kenny Quach, and he's teaching at another gym. And a guy that Kung Fu master is known for that gym. And we knew him from there, and Kenny invited him to come watch his spar boxing, right? And then we were bothered with sparring, and he just kept up talking smack, he kept glorifying how good Kung Fu was, blah, blah, blah. He said, oh, if you did this, I would have done this, if you did this, I would have done that. I know you would, And just kept talking, and he just kept talking back and forth, and I said, you know what, how about this? why don't you put the gloves, go spotting around, you know, for fun, you know, see where everything works, you know? And then the guy goes, no, I only spot bare knuckle. Oh, what? I don't spot bare knuckle at the fight. I don't get hurt. I don't spar or practice, you know? And then he goes, fine. And he's going to see if I'm chicken. He's like, huh, you're not about that life, you know? All right, okay, you know what? You want to do this? Let's do this. All right. I'll wear main gloves. You wear go bare knuckle. We'll do this. And he knows I'm a fighter, but he's huge.
He was like 210 pounds or something, right?
Yeah, I see. He's like 200 pounds. You're 5'10". So like 5'10", 5'10". So like, look at me like, oh, this is a fighter. This is a damn fan. Like, dude, I can do this. I can fade it. I'm gonna mess this guy up. I'm thinking like, no, you're not, man. You don't fight. You don't train. He never sparred a day in his life. You know that?
Yeah.
Never sparred. He only did kung fu, like hit the bag or hit the little wood statue. And so it was on Monday. And we met on Wednesday. And we just kept negotiating like, how the fight's gonna be and stuff like that. And, you know, I was like, if you're a kung fu guy, you street fight, let's go. No time limit. No time. Whatever happens, happens. Right? You know, and no rules. Take down everything. Says no. Only striking. Right? All right, whatever. All right. Only striking. All right. Only striking, no time limit. Says no. Says no. I want. Only 2 rounds, 1 minute break. Two minute rounds, 1 minute break. Like, what the? This is crazy. I'm not always arguing. I'm saying, like, you need to choose all the rules. Like, okay, how about this? We go 4 rounds. I don't want to go 4 rounds, 3 minutes. Like, no, 3 minutes too long. Six rounds. I hear, no, we go 3 rounds, 2 minutes. I maybe agree to 4 rounds, 2 minutes each, 1 minute break. I always agree to.
The unsanctioned fight, like just making up all these rules. I mean, have you seen that? What was that name?
Underground fight at the Nat Bat Academy.
Yeah, hell yeah. Have you seen that happen before over the years? Like people just coming in off the street wanting to fight you guys. Like I've talked to tons of people before that say, you know, there's some crazy people that just walk in off the street and just think
yeah,
they have it.
I have a few times. Well, at the same time, same here. Another Kenpo karate guy came in here, and it's on my YouTube channel. I filmed it, and like, and we boxed.
Wow.
And this guy brought it. And, like, I had a student. This guy's an idiot. I had a student. He had a friend that's Kenpo karate, big guy. He's a Kenpo karate, and like, and the Kenpo karate always talked about how great he is. He's always saying like how mixed martial art guys can't fight. And I told my student, like, look, I'll beat the piss out of your friend, right? And like, he's surprised I said that. He's like, oh, really? And he told his friend that I said that. And he goes, hey, my friend wants to spar with you. See what's up. I'm like, are you stupid? Why did you tell your friend that? You're an idiot. Your friend is an idiot for accepting they would want to fight me. Oh, you know what? Let's go. Let's do it. And then we met that day. He brought his mom. He brought his dad. He brought a bunch of things. You know? And he thought I'm small for that guy, too. And you can find it on YouTube, you know? And I do. I freaking bought it. I freaking left side of the body. Boom, I dropped him. You know?
Oh,
and
my.
Dude, you don't fight.
Was that the one? Well, like, it took one punch, right? Just boom, boom, boom.
I mean, no, it was like 2 rounds or like that.
Oh, okay, okay. Because I've seen videos of you when you were younger, like in a gym, knock a dude out with one punch. He falls back to the board or whatever. It looked like he was in a gymnasium. Just knocked the dude out unconscious, just like that.
In high school.
Is absolutely insane. And you know what? I saw a tweet. You retweeted it too. Let me pull it up really quick. I thought this was an amazing little fact that a lot of people need to remember. Where is it here? MMA, this has nothing to do with UFC 249, but the people need to know There have been four rounds in UFC history in which the two fighters combined for at least 280 significant strike attempts. Nam Phan was in three of the four against three different opponents, man. That's, well, is that one of the proudest things that, you know, you think people are going to remember you for? What do you think people remember Nam Phan for?
The Kung Fu guy.
The viral video of the Kung Fu guy. You have so many different things throughout your career that it's just, man, you've lived an amazing life. You really have.
I'm trying to do what I enjoy, you know, just trying to have fun.
Now, do you still talk to the guys over at Team Alpha Male? Are you still training over there, cross training, or what happened with Alpha Male?
I haven't been in a while. I haven't been to the facility for a while now. When I was doing a fight, I'd go over there for like a month at a time, get ready. I was there before Team Dillashaw, you know, the whole thing went down, man. I was there before Dwayne Bang. I was there when he got there. I was there when it was like 16 years out and left. It was amazing.
What did you think about all of that going down? I mean, was that kind of hard to see everybody kind of fighting with one another? I mean, what was your perception of it?
I mean, I was there one at a time, so when I hear like a little commotion, I called my friend that's still there. I said, "Hey, what's going on? Is this true? Is that true?" Hmm. So. Yeah, I was so worried that he was just gonna leave. I mean, he did, you know. I'm done. Something was true, something went through, you know. So, I just had to say.
So, before we let you go, I gotta ask you, if you could pick one fight for anybody to watch through your career, what would be it? Like, what do you think was the best fight of your entire career?
Oh man, Takumi Nakayama. Yeah, one of those is good.
I mean, you fought for so many different promotions, man. I mean, well, UFC, WEC, Strikeforce, Pancras. I mean, you've had an amazing career. I definitely want to go back and watch Season 12 of Ultimate Fighter because just interviewing you right now and just knowing your career, I've always been such a huge fan. I really want to thank you for joining me on this podcast. I definitely want to catch up with you again towards the end of the year, even though we're closing in. But how has COVID been treating you, man?
It sucks, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Just do what I can, you know?
What's the gym atmosphere like right now that COVID's going around? Like, how are you guys going throughout the day?
It's lighter, less people, but it's the same thing.
Yeah, I got a picture that's got to be really hard for everybody at gyms because nobody really wants to get in there, so... Nam, I appreciate it so much. I want to thank you for joining me once again. And also, before we let you go, can you just say, hey guys, this is Nam Phan, and you're listening to Pure Evil MMA?
Hey guys, it's Nam Phan. You're listening to Pure Evil MMA.
Nam, God bless. Have a good one. What I like to do at this point in the interview is hand the microphone over to you. If you have any shout outs, social media tags, anything at all, the floor is now all yours.
I'm not quite as much sponsor, so I have to thank you to you, for giving this chance to give this interview. It's real fun. You know, I want to see the performance that keep on training here during COVID-19. And everyone else, have a good day. Hey.
Later, Nam. God bless.
Talk to you later. Hey.
There we guys go. Nam Phan joining us. So, gotta say, man. One of my favorite fighters from Ultimate Caesar Season 12, the trilogy with Leonard Garcia. I mean, this guy's fought for so many different promotions. I want to thank Alex Bonwick for hooking it up, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. Catch me on Art of MMA podcast. We do it every Tuesday. It should be dropping today. We break down every single fight that's gone down from the past weekend every week, and I'm joined by two MMA fighters, Sergio De Silva, Brandon Coutinho, and also Mike Ginn. So check that out. I'll have the link down below. Make sure to follow Nam Fan. I'll have his links down below. And you're listening to Pure Evil MMA. I'm Evil Eddie. Remember, without evil, there's no purity. White knuckles for the end. Behave yourselves. Try that again.